Well, The Imitation Game was one of the films in contention last night. It's the story of Alan Turing, the gay man who broke a Nazi code during World War II and was then prosecuted under Britain's anti-sodomy laws, committing suicide 2 years later. The film won last night for Best Adapted Screenplay. Here's screenwriter Graham Moore.
When I was 16 years old, I tried to kill myself because I felt weird and I felt different and I felt like I did not belong. And now I'm standing here and... So I would like for this moment to be for that kid out there who feels like she's weird or she's different or she doesn't fit in anywhere. Yes, you do. I promise you do. You do. Stay weird, stay different, and then when it's your turn and you are standing on this stage, please pass the same message to the next person who comes along. Thank you so much.
Times have changed. The real-life Alan Turing was posthumously pardoned in 2013. Then a drive started to pardon the thousands of other men also convicted. And this morning, backers delivered a petition with 500,000 names to Prime Minister David Cameron. Peter Tatchell worked for 40 years to get Turing pardoned. He was part of the wider drive as well. He joins us from London. Peter, what's this moment like for you?
Well, it's been absolutely fantastic the way in which The Imitation Game has raised public awareness about Alan Turing's enormous contribution, not only to breaking the Nazi Enigma codes during the Second World War, which probably brought the duration of the war to a close 2 years or 3 years earlier than it might have been, but also he is the founding father of modern computing. So for him to have been treated in that way, prosecuted for a consenting, victimless same-sex relationship, and then forced or pressured to undergo chemical castration, which ultimately drove him to depression and suicide, that's a truly shameful thing.
Well, we should tell people the full story. In 1952, when Alan Turing was brought up on these charges, he did agree to take the medication that kind of rendered him impotent and 2 years later was found dead. But who are these thousands of other men? How many men were charged under this now overturned law?
It's called gross indecency and sounds rather ghastly and horrible, but all it just simply means is any sexual contact between men, which can involve sex, but also can involve mere touching and caressing and kissing. Under this law, an estimated 49,000 men were convicted in Britain, but there are also three other anti-gay laws, and so the total number convicted was probably in the region of somewhere between 50,000 and 100,000 men.
And, of course, here in the U.S., we had somewhat similar laws on the books in some states. But more about these men. It would seem that most of them are not alive, given the years past. The justice minister there, Edward Fox, said the government couldn't give the same kind of posthumous pardons to them that they gave to Alan Turing because it wouldn't have any practical benefit. They don't have the resources. Why do you obviously disagree?
Well, it's obviously a very bad legal principle to make law or give pardons on the basis of whether someone is famous and important or not. Just because Alan Turing was a great code breaker and mathematical genius does not mean that he should be singled out for special treatment. So we're simply saying that there ought to be equality in law when it comes to granting pardons. If it's good enough for Alan Turing, it must logically, and I think ethically, also say the same about all the other men convicted for consenting adult same-sex relations.
Well, we know that homosexuality was only partially decriminalized in Britain in 1967, but the full decriminalization didn't occur till 2003. So, in fact, there are men alive who were prosecuted under these now overturned laws. What do you hear from them? What would it mean to them?
They want the same justice as Alan Turing got. Probably somewhere between 10 and 15,000 of these men are still alive today. So for them, this is a real live personal issue. Let's not forget, these men were not only convicted, but because of the shame and stigma associated with such convictions, many of them were sacked from their jobs, evicted from their homes, their marriages broke up. Many were attacked, violently attacked and assaulted by neighbors and people on the street. And a very substantial minority either attempted or did actually commit suicide.
Peter Tatchell, thank you so much for talking to us about it.